But today's session is on, or this session is on tools, I think the tools and things like that. That's why it's called the Hammerhead. But I want to pray again as we're starting out. And don't tell anybody that story. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us and just this opportunity to be away with one another this weekend. And God, we're asking you to help us. We want to walk with you. We want to, in our relationships, the people that you've blessed us with, that Father, you just use us for your glory and good. And we do pray, God, as we're wrapping up this time, that we continue to be encouragement to one another. And thank you for Rob. Please bless him as he shares with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. That was a great story. I worked there too, but I didn't do that job. I just wanted to tell you how thankful I am that I'm here with you guys. And there's nothing more frustrating in life when you train someone to do something. And they do it well, and they know what they're doing. They have all the information. And it's like they just forget. And it's pretty frustrating. And you, I'm sure each one of you, whether you're dealing with your children, and you teach them how to do something, and then they just do it the way they did it before. God wants us to gain skill. Not so that we can be skilled as much as it is, we can use the tools. Not just for ourselves, but for other people. And I'm sharing that with a bunch of guys who probably are already doing that. But the most important topic, this is where I'm going to be going, so I like to tell people where I want to go, so that they're kind of ready for it. But God wants you to use your passion for his glory. Sometimes we think that as believers in Christ, men of the church, it means, well, if I'm going to go serve the Lord, then I'm just going to be miserable the rest of my life. But that's not how God wants us. God has given you passion for something. Now, some of you, we were talking a little bit. I love fishing. And I have found a way to use my passion for God's glory. The scripture I'm going to be talking about is 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. But the most important one is Matthew 22. 35 through 40. So 1 Timothy 4, 7, 8, and Matthew 22, 35 through 40. Using your passion to further the gospel. And that's putting it all together. Now we talked about being a good husband, being a family man, and how you treat your wife, first of all, is a testament to your neighbors. Because in Ephesians chapter 5, it gives us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's a spiritual ring to it. And wives, submit to your husband in everything, as to the Lord, which is a spiritual element. And Paul at the end says, I don't say this really talking about marriage. I'm talking about the church, how Jesus has prepared his bride. And I'm so glad Christ is so patient with me. So men, as you work with your wives or your wives-to-be, know that how you do that is going to influence your children. Who do you want your daughter to fall in love with? Who do you want your son to bring into the family? What kind of woman do you want to pursue your son? Your job is to protect them, to provide for them, and allow because that's what your kids are desiring. So as you think about using your tools, you're given tools by Pastor Mark, and there are so many tools that you can acquire for learning how to be a man of God in your family that's going to be powerful, and your legacy is going to live on for generations, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And so I want to encourage you about that. And then, as a churchman, let your passion be to help your church. How can you use your passion and your skills? Like the story Mark said about John Soss, boy, he really used his passion for sports to get us out of Christian service. But we really were doing something. God can use anything like that. And I use the 1 Timothy 4, 7, 8, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourselves for godliness. Put the tools in your belt. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds a promise for the present life and also for a life to come. And as a church man and as a family man, I'm going to get in the kitchen here. Rattle the cage. I can't tell you how sad it is when I see young people involved in football in the fall, basketball in the winter, baseball in the spring during school. That bodily exercise is of some value. You are in charge of your schedule. Do not let your schedule be in charge of you. Your kids need scripture, not just from you, but from other people in their lives. Don't get sucked into thinking that your kids need to be involved in sports all the time, or involved in anything all the time. Because I'm sure if you thought about it, you can think of families who say they get their kid gets to be 18. I just don't understand why my kid doesn't want to be in church. Only because they haven't been in church with their peers. Doug Medlin there. As a man in your church, make sure your children are under the preaching of the word, because that lasts them. In 100 years, they're not going to be saying, "Well, I'm really glad I played sports all the time." All the time. I'm just saying, be careful. You're in charge of their schedule. We have a lady that really wants to send their kids to Awana, because she's all of a sudden, she says, "Oh my goodness, I didn't know that." Because Awana is everything. I didn't know Awana had the Word of God, and they're teaching the kids. And she said, "My kids do swimming on Wednesday nights." Well, they used to do swimming on Wednesday nights. We are moving that to another day so they can be here. I said, "Bravo, lady." She's in charge of her schedule, and so are you. Also, using your talents and passion to build the kingdom of God. This is where, if you can think of one thing and meditate on it and walk out, here it is. One of the things that I have done over the years, I think the more I got white around the muzzle, the more I did this. And that is, I began to look at my passion and what I like to do as a way of outreach. One of the things that I do is I go fishing, but I don't always go fishing for myself. If you've ever caught a steelhead, first time I ever caught a steelhead, I was gut-bucked. I was so excited about that, and I just couldn't get enough. As a youth pastor, I had a little bit of flexibility in my schedule, and I had to drive over the Chagrin River, which has steelhead in it, and so on the way to church. And I couldn't make it over the river every morning, so I would get up at the crack of dawn, and I would pull over into the parking lot, I would fish for a couple hours, catch my 10 or whatever, because the steelhead would really run in great back then. And then I'd just get in going to church at about 9, 10, and I just loved it, and it was for me. Always doing my passion for me. I got pretty good at it. But what I began to do is I began to think, how can I use my passion, things that I love, for the kingdom of God? Because it made me feel a whole lot better. I also have a second church. I have a church called the Board of Elections. I work the election. Every time there's an election, it's not because I love to go in there and have people yelling at me. I didn't have to show my ID last year. That's not why I love it. I love it because when I am there, I have built over 25 years working for the Board of Elections. I have a church in that building, and they don't even know it. Because I have had multiple times where people would ask me questions. Because there's always people who are involved in sin, they're ruining their lives, and they're asking me to help them and pray for them. That's my second church. And you know, my third church is my children are always watching. I use my fishing because it's my passion. I use it to reach people. Now, I'm going to tell you how easy it is in a minute, but my son has picked this up. He fishes for men while doing video games. I cannot do video games. He is a destiny since the beginning of when it came out 10 years ago. He plays Destiny. I don't know if you guys know Destiny, but this is a huge platform, and he plays 3 hours sometimes a week, maybe 5 hours, and he just picks up people to do a raid. He picks up people and then he talks to people and then he has relationships. He even met a guy halfway between, I can't remember, Chicago and our place, just because they had been talking to him for months. He gives the gospel to people through stinking video games. My daughter picked this up. She's a homeschool mom, 3 kids. But she gets up at 5 in the morning and she runs with 3 ladies from her neighborhood. And she's taught them how to talk while they run. And my daughter's done an ultra marathon, so she's a freak. But she gives the gospel sometimes. Not turn your Bibles as they run, right? She just talks to them about things and they ask her questions after the run or sometime during the week. She also has a church group that she runs with, a couple of ladies, and they encourage one another. And so they have picked up what I was laying down. And I thank the Lord for that. The secret, though, is when I'm fishing, if I can think, okay, God, I'm going to give this next 3 hours to you and not me. And so I'll pray, Lord, prepare someone's heart to hear the gospel. Help me see with your eyes who it is. And then when I get down there, I say, Lord, how about you catch a fish? Because I want to tell you, if you guys are fishermen that fish with other people around, you catch a fish, and what happens?
Come over. How'd you do it?
Okay, so I've got 200 feet on excited me, and I catch two fish, and this guy's coming over here and is sidling up. Now, I want to tell you, most men that are fishing, they try to hide what they're using. What I've done is I tie extra flies, and I say, this is what I caught it on. Here's my setup. I'm fishing right here. Let me move down and you fish right here. I've had a number of guys say, why are we doing this? And I have an opportunity to figure out, is this person soft? And I've had the opportunity to give the gospel hundreds of times over the last 29 years. Because I said, God, these next three hours are yours. Now, not all the time. It doesn't happen all the time. When I drive to New York from the Cleveland area, it's 3.5 hours. And I invite lost people to come with me. I even tell my pastor, I'm not coming in today. I'm working on the road. I take lost people to New York. We don't talk about Christ for 3.5 hours. We talk about the family and figure out what's going on in the family. And by the way, text people after you talk to them. I've been praying for you about this. What a great thing. That was no extra charge. Back to the story. Always, when I start talking about my work, they ask me what I do. What an open door. And then I find that sometimes I'm able to actually give the entire plan of salvation when the guy's looking straight ahead and I'm looking straight ahead. That is so encouraging. And I want to encourage you. Okay, that's not real hard. It's not hard. People, if you ask them, I sometimes will open up with, so what do you believe about God? Do you have any background in Christianity or church? I ask them what they believe. And I'll ask them questions about what they think about certain things. And do you know what they can't help doing? They say, what do you believe? Because I've given them 10 minutes to tell me what they believe. And I said, well, let me tell you how you got it wrong. I don't do that. But I just want to give you an example of one man that I went fishing with. I was leaving the river, and I saw a guy with his son. The guy was about 65. The son was 45 or so. And I could tell they were from out of town because I heard them talk. And so I just went up to their car. This is how easy. I went up to their car and said, have you guys fished this river before? And he said, I'm not going to do the accent anymore. But he said, no, this is our first time. I said, can I take you down there and show you where I just finished fishing? I caught a few fish, and I'll let you know where it is. He looked at me like I'm the guy that's going to kill him. And he said, sure. His son was like, So we went down the river. And as I'm walking down, he goes, you know, I'm from Tennessee, and we don't have much use for Yankees. And I kind of was surprised at that. I said, you know, I'm from Ohio, and I know. He liked that. So I'm fishing with him, and I say, the hole is right here. There's a boulder right there, and there's a couple steelhead right behind it. You just float your fly right past that. And here's a fly that you can use. This is what I was catching with. And he's looking at me like, what are you doing? You've never seen this before. And I said, I'm going to leave my card on your windshield wiper. And if you ever want to hook up with me, or you want to talk, we'll talk about it. It's all in His court. Holy Spirit working that guy's life. And lo and behold, this guy calls me up. And he said, I'm just so pleased with how you helped me. We caught like 8 fish, and you helped to show us where you're fishing. And he says, I want to get together with you. Then, this is about 15 years ago, every single fall, I get a huge package of something in the mail from this guy. Because this guy's filthy rich. I didn't know that. This guy's name is Jim London. He works as a liaison to the Supreme Court of Tennessee. His best friend is Jimmy Haslam, owner of the Browns. Where would a guy like me meet a guy like that on an even plane? Your passion gets you to unlock anyone. And the challenge I have for you, maybe you're not a fisherman, okay? Do you have a dog that is well-trained dog so that you tell it to come, it comes? You walk with it, it's looking at you, like, what's my next move? You got gold. If you go to the dog park and you talk to other people who love dogs, there's your ticket. Do you like golf? I heard, was it Steve was talking about, they were bringing in a guy they didn't even know before. Maybe you were part of that thing. That is exactly what you do. And you don't have to get the gospel. You just have to look for opportunity. God, is this guy ready here? What do you like? Do you like bowling? Don't get your lead. Go in and say, is there any team that needs an extra? And then you're there. You're Jesus to people who are going to be not Jesus. This is such an easy thing. There are lost people that you have an in with. And all you have to do is have fun. Figure out what you love and what you're good at, because someone else needs to know what you're good at. They need to know how to tie a fly. They need to know how to bowl better. They need to know how to train their dog. And just be ready always to give an answer for anyone who has a question. Be prepared, try to see with Jesus' eyes. And like I said, I don't always do it. Sometimes I want to catch some fish. I don't want to deal with people. Sometimes I just say, Lord, let me make a difference in somebody's life. And it's that easy. I'm done with what I had planned. Do you guys have any questions as if I'm some kind of an expert, but any questions maybe about me, my life, my wife, my children, something that's kind of rolling around your head? About anything we talked about? Anything I missed? Oh, God.
I do have a question. I'm curious. So you said there's times where you want to do this just for you. Are there times that God throws you a curve and still brings
you? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah. Thank you. In fact, that happens a few times. But, and sometimes I have had a great opportunity to say, man, I wish I would pray for that. That'd be an answer to prayer. But sometimes when I have really, I would say that at least half the time when I say, God, let me see who you want me to talk to. All of a sudden, someone comes up and says, hey, have you fished here often? and start talking to me. And sometimes I meet a Christian man. I met a guy named John. And he was really struggling with the sin. And of course, if you tell anybody, so what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. Oh, I just need to tell you, I'm a terrible sinner. And sometimes you go to confession right there. But, I try to, when someone asks me that question, I usually say, I work for the highest authority in this country. Impressive, right? And so, this man, this particular man, was really struggling in life. And I prayed with him right there on the river. That man's my friend. 25 years later, he still calls me when he needs encouragement. And so sometimes he throws me a curve, and sometimes I luck into it.
What I love, too, is what you just said. Every one of us work for that guy. So it's not just a pastor.
Right.
So everybody's got that line that's here.
Yep.
So
that's
it's
right.
Not like they have to be a pastor to have that line. We all work for him.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yes, sir. What I found so many times is I have family back east, so you go home and you're like, we're thinking of Uncle so-and-so, or, you know, they're getting older, you want to have that chance, and you do get, and then the last person you thought about, because you said something on your Christmas card, so you believe it, or you're talking to somebody, and the person you didn't even know was listening, next day calls you up and go, you know, you see, I've always been amazed how many times I'm focused here, and God has Mark over there listening, and I had no idea. So just to be aware, you never know who's listening to that conversation. You're not getting through at all to the guy you wanted to.
But that's not Jesus talking to him.
Jesus is
talking
to him. Look around.
Excellent. Yeah.
I mean, that's happened so many times.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you for that. Anybody else? All right, I just want to, as I close, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you. For the men who I got to talk to, and for the men who I didn't, it's my loss, because I am just so thankful for you guys. Well, first of all, you love my friend. And he loves you, and you encourage him. He's so proud of you. I know that when we go to the airport, just yeah, by you guys. I'm so thankful for it, and thank you for taking care of my friend, and for encouraging him, loving him, and allowing him to serve and minister to you. Anything else? Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Would you pray?
Yes. Father, you are so good to us. If you gave us nothing else except our salvation, it's too much. And I pray that as we walk through, we men walk through this journey that you blessed us with, that I pray that we would be able to just capture some of the joy of ministry that you've prepared for us. I pray that you'd help us to gain skills. Help us to be good dads, great husbands, and good church members. That we would be able to help build the kingdom of God. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for giving. You can do all this by yourself. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to not only work in your kingdom, but we get rewards too. Thank you for that. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, who lives forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.